Gen X ladies, have you ever stopped, took a breather, and thought, hey, is this it? I mean, is this all? Then life hits you with menopause and midlife crisis. Well, that's what happened to me. But ladies, it's not game over. Oh no, we've got to get up and claim our space and fight back. My name's Simona, and come join me as I document my life journey, discover midlife solutions one step at a time. I will present various ways to improve our lives and increase our self-care. I will interview inspiring people, share with you the best kept secrets to a successful and meaningful life. So let's get rocking! Couch to Fire will inspire you to get unstuck and venture out of your comfort zone and ignite your fire within. Couch to Fire. Get your life back.
Hi, this is Simona from Couch to Fire, and I'm here with Amy Procacci.
Hi!
Amy Procacci is one of my dear friends from high school. We've known each other since high school, right, Amy?
Yep. Long time.
But I just wanted to have her in my inaugural podcast just because I love her so much, and she's just an amazing person with so much passion, so much creativity, and so much fun. You know, she just symbolizes so much goodness in life, and we just every time I'm with her, I always have a smile on my face and we always have a great time. So welcome, Amy Procacci.
I hope this is no exception.
Definitely not. This is going to be amazing. So she has been out, we both grew up in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And she has been out to LA for how long has it been?
It's like 19 years. It'll be 20 years like next year. So 19 years.
That's amazing.
Plus.
Well, I wanted to share with you all about Amy's journey to like amazingness, because she's one of the amazing ladies that I know in my life. But she's out there in LA kicking it and going crazy with her her creativity and her humor. So Amy, I'm going to ask you a question like I'll ask everybody for their inaugural reveal, is what sparked the passion in your life to move on, and the secret sauce that you have in your life to be where you're at now?
Secret sauce is a great word. I honestly think everyone has that. I don't think it's a moment or a thing. I think everyone has that inside them. And it was just about the opportunity of letting it out. I remember when we were roommates. And when I was in college and you started your first job, and we made a little wheel of the things that we thought I could do with my life. Do you remember this?
Yes.
You that drew was a little thing, and we had all these things and places I could go. And we settled on comedy writer. I mean, I lived in Philadelphia. There's a chance of me being a comedy writer. I mean, it wasn't like it's now, like you can just write from your house. I didn't even have a computer in my house at the time.
Right.
So so that always sort of stuck with me. But like getting there from college, just there wasn't a path that I could see. And so what I sort of focused on is what made me happy. And what made me happy was being, you know, funny and laughing and finding an outlet for that. And there really wasn't that in Philadelphia. And so I left. I moved to Los Angeles. I had a friend who lived there, and I moved in with her. And I remember prior to going to Philadelphia, or before I left Philadelphia, I would sit on the stoop where I worked and cry. Like,
really?
I would leave work and be like, what am I doing here? Go outside and sit. There was like no outward. It was like right in the front room of the front entrance, and just cry and be like, what am I doing? I'm so unhappy. And that was a dream job. I was working in television. I had just come out of college and I was employed. Like all of those things were great, but I wasn't happy. And so I knew what made me happy, and I just found an outlet for it. And it was from that, that, you know, got me to Los Angeles.
And you're like, oh, let's just go to LA and just do it.
Well, I tried to go to New York. That would be the most normal thing to do, is to go an hour and a half away rather than 3,000 miles away. But I didn't have the opportunity there. Like everything sort of fell into place in Los Angeles. My friend had moved there. She had a room. You know, I just started telling people like, I want to change. And I was looking for apartments in New York. I was applied for the Queen Latifah job. They turned me down. The Queen Latifah show.
But you would have been amazing, but you know what?
Yeah.
Another
lifetime. So, so I wound up moving to Los Angeles. I did not have a job lined up. I did not have, but I knew that I wasn't working in Philadelphia, and I knew I wouldn't work, you know, so I wasn't coming back to my job. We worked contract to contract there. So I knew I'd come back in January and I wasn't going to come back. And I moved to LA, and it took me 3 months to get a job. But I got a job. And in the meantime, I started Groundlings. I landed on, I think, January 5th. And on January 6th, I started Groundlings.
And that was a big part of how you jumped to where you are now.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I would say that improv comedy is the reason I got my job and the reason I kept my job. So I went through the Groundlings program. It took me like 4 years, and all that time I would work here and there. I wasn't making, you know, I was still in production, in reality production. And then, you know, I made it all the way to the there's certain, performance levels. You get into the Sunday company at Groundlings, which is like their pre, you know, you do a show every Sunday. And then if you graduate through that, and if they accept you, they'll take you into the main company. But I did not make the main company. And so after all these years and all this time doing this thing I loved so much, I was done. Like, I was done the program, and there was nothing there for me. I mean, to be honest, like, to become a Groundling, there's no financial gain. You sort of become an actor or a writer, and it's pretty much the same thing. You just keep doing the program. There's still an outlet for you. And so I wound up, right around that time, I had a commercial agent. And let me be very honest, I've never booked a commercial. I came very close, and I had to join the union. And then I booked a promo because my friends were producing it or directing it. And then never booked anything again. I still auditioned in 14 years. I have never booked a commercial. So like the dream of being, I thought, oh my gosh, I'll do this, I'll do that. That didn't happen. But what did happen was I booked this promo and talked to my friends there and said, you know, I just left Groundlings and I'm looking for a job. Here's my resume. And my resume was full of the things that I had done before, which are television production, you know, post-production, a little bit of television writing, lots of improv. And they said, you know, we're leaving our job and you might be great for it. And so I went in and interviewed with their recommendation and I got the job. And with the background of improv, and when we were in Sunday Company, I was writing a new show every week. They would give me something and I would give them like 50 ideas. I could just,
wow.
I just could come up with it because that's what I was trained for. So that job or that experience, leaving that job and jumping into nothing, got me the job that, like, now I'm full time. I haven't been a full time employee in 20 years since I left.
Right.
I'm working for a network. I love it. It's great.
But comedy is part of your wheelhouse for your current job right now, right?
Still, yeah. I do the promos for the Tonight Show, and from that job, I started at NBC, and I wrote original promo. So basically, when a new show comes out, there's not, you're only looking at the pilot to get material from. And so we write, that department would write really fun concepts of how to promote the show. And they still, my department does some of the most amazing, if you've ever seen a voice promo where they're dangling from helicopters, it's just really, they do really, really fun stuff. And I got to be a part of it. And then from there, I moved to ABC for a little while and did different shows, but I was always in comedy. And weirdly, there's a lot of people from the improv community who wind up in promo because you know how to condense it into, you know, a small amount of words, and you know what's a funny button, you know what's going to end, and it just the rhythm sounds right, and you know how to create something in a really small amount of time. So
all those years at Groundlings really helped you grab that dream job that you have right now.
Absolutely. Like all of that led up to here. But the crazy thing is, it was just like a lark, like of a jump. And I was living in my friend's crappy apartment with her baby and her boyfriend. The baby is 19 years old now. And just started going to classes. And that's how, you know, I made my friends, my community, that's how I met my people.
Yeah. And you have so many great friends that you have been with for all these years. And I just love them. They're all these wonderful, powerful ladies, and they're so funny.
Yeah. It's amazing. And it's really incredible to see them, people taking off in different directions. Some of them are actors that you see on TV. Some of them, one of my friends just directed her first feature film. They're writing on television shows. You know, you spend a lot of time being broke together, and then all of a sudden everyone's, you know, doing well. It's exciting.
Yeah. So are you doing anything outside of what you do now, like something that's fun, that's passionate for you, like comedy or something?
Yeah, I still perform now and then with the Groundlings. You know, they call me in for a show every once in a while. It's hard to get out of work, but I do. I make it work. And I still perform with an all-girl improv group that I met through. Yeah. We're called Lady Biker Gang these days. And that's just something that we do on the side. Like we do it once a month when we can. They're performing, you know, at the Acme Theater in North Hollywood, which is very close to where I live. And it's just really, really fun. Like it's one of those things. It's like, you just pick it up and you can run with it again. It doesn't go away. It doesn't, you know, and you don't have to rehearse. You just sort of meet and just go. Yeah.
Well, Amy, thank you so much for letting me pick your brain and inspiring all our listeners about how you got to where you are now. And is there any kind of encouragement and little tidbit that you want to give to the listeners on how to just do what you've done before?
I would say just listen to doing what makes you happy is never the wrong thing. And it's just the easiest step to make. And if you know what makes you happy and you don't know where to put it, find the outlet for it. Like I found, you know, I wanted to do comedy. I found Groundlings. Find something that speaks to you and just go towards that. And that's the key. And also, like, this isn't it. I don't feel like this is my, I feel like there's even more for me to go onto. And that's the beauty of, you know, of living in Los Angeles and working mm-hmm. in these, it can go anywhere. So, and it can always change and be better and be more fun.
Amy, is there any like social handles that you want us as viewers to follow you or anything that you want to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter. I don't post anything on there, but I would love to be your friend. I'm at Amy Pro, at Amy Pro, AMYPRO, and I am at Amy Pro on Instagram, and I'm private, but I will accept you. I don't understand social media.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. I'm learning too. So we're all learning all this fun stuff.
I was on Twitter in like 2008. When Twitter first happened, I made a joke about mad cow disease. A woman in England responded to me that she did not like it. And I took that thing down and I blocked her and I never made a bad joke again. It's traumatizing.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're going to redo it again. It'll be okay. Just no mad cow and no coronavirus either.
Look, I learned my lesson in 2008.
Amy, thank you so much.
Thanks, man. I love you. Thanks for
helping
my career for me.
All right. Thank you guys so much. And let's, we'll see you again. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Couch to Fire. I hope this podcast sparks something in you to take action to live your best life. If you are interested in joining me in this podcast and have something inspiring to share, please contact me. Couch to Fire. Live your best life.